Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is the second time in a couple weeks I'm having to do this because of a weird schedule for Tom and I. We had to shift several things around in the past couple of weeks. So this episode is a Vulgarity for Charity episode. We recorded it with Noah, Heath, and Eli several weeks ago. So this particular episode is entirely a Vulgarity for Charity. It's all the high donor roasts, and it's going to sit in its own place on our feed. So hope you guys enjoy it. Here it is.
Welcome to a Vulgarity for Charity special show so we can celebrate an amazing charity drive and roast the hell out of some people. To do this proper, we have to invite the meanest men in podcasting and their mascot, Noah, Heath, and Eli.
So as much as I appreciate the superlative, Tom, this is a profession dominated by alt-right bigots. I'm going to reject it, but I thank you for giving us some kind of ist.
I hate people so much. They're just the worst people. People are the worst people.
I am the gritty of this podcast. I appreciate you recognizing it, Tom.
Absolutely.
We got you. We see you. All right, let's start this party right by thanking those people who gave money out of the kindness of their hearts. So a special thanks to Katie H., Jim G., Natalie H., John A., David R., Logan, and Jennifer A., who donated $500.
And an extra special thanks to Kevin S. for his $550 donation, Crystal for their $775 donation, and Donna M., whose donation of $960 was so good, we thanked her for it within 2 years of her making it.
And a huge, hugity, hugest thanks to Scoop Bucky, Michael D., Man Chicken, and Teresa W. for the donations of $1,000 each.
Okay, on to the roast. Let's kick off this big bucks version of Vulgarity for Charity with Noah. Noah Aubrey would like a roast of climate denier.
Oh, go easy on me. Thank you. So, all right. How the fuck are you going to believe that some secret cabal of evil oligarchs are controlling the world when there's a perfectly good non-secret cabal of evil oligarchs just openly controlling the world? You really think the poor malign underdog in our story is oil companies? Are you fucking serious? You're sipping for literal cartoon villains, right? And sure, I see how you can reach the "but what if the overwhelming consensus of scientists in diverse scientific fields is wrong" question, but I have a lot more trouble seeing how you reach the "I bet this series of Ayn Rand quoting dropout bloggers nailed it, though" answer. I'm just saying, maybe when the stakes are the survivability of the planet Earth, we raise the bars of research above robo-voiced YouTube videos. Just a thought.
Next up is Eli. Sawyer and Mindy want you to go off on J. Matthew Wright like a loaded weapon.
Oh, if only, Tom. Yeah, so for those of you who don't remember, J. Matthew Wright is the one who went to the Supreme Court for a domestic abuser's Second Amendment rights. And look, I'd say I hope someone shoots him in the fucking head, but that would make him my attorney. So, you know.
All right, Heath, this one is for you. How about a roast of American city planners who fail to put in left turn lanes? This is for Julie.
Hey, city planners, your system of making three rights in order to make an anti-right, it's unassailable. Geometrically, math does check out. That does technically work. But you must have heard the scuttlebutt around the water cooler about a lot of people. They're making these new streamlined anti-rights in one fell swoop. The kids are calling it a left. Yes, they eat avocado toast. They text without punctuation. It's annoying. But still, just make a fucking lane. Also, there's no reason to just give up on the numbering system of the grid and start using random names. Why do you all run out at like 250? You know how many numbers we have? We have so many that we know about, like easily 300 of them for sure.
Right. Appleberry.
Tom, you're up next. Matt and Tony want a roast of the Southern Baptist Convention.
All right. All right. So to start, the Southern Baptist Convention is not a convention. It's a church. And I couldn't help but be remembered of all the wonderful atheist and skeptical conventions I've been to as a point of comparison. You see, you get a bunch of godless heathens together and something amazing happens. Amid the board games and the laughter, there's something else, something important. There is a deep sense of personal and collective fearlessness. Hundreds of strangers gather together, and while I'm not going to say there's never problems, there are more freak flags flying than red flags. No one is afraid. Because unlike the Baptists, we aren't selling fear in order to sell salvation. And that's really the heart of the SBC. They claim they are selling salvation through grace, but they aren't. Not really. Because to sell you the grace, they have to make you buy terror, to purchase dread, and install it into the very marrow of you. And then, and only then, will they rent you your salvation from the horrors and anxieties you'd have never dreamed up on your own. But once these nightmares pervade your waking narrative, you have to pay and pay and pay over and over again, because at every corner lurks the leering specter of unending misery and despair, a lifetime of booby traps, of minor moral transgressions set like tripwires across the span of all your decades, crimes and thought crimes and desires and even love, all rigged to blow up not just your life, but time eternal. And they have the unmitigated temerity, the audacity, the gall to call that grace. How magnanimous, then, to threaten torture and pain and praise free will in the same liar's breath, all within a church rife with sex and abuse scandals, a church that rejects women as clergy, a church shedding members year after year, collapsing in upon itself like a neutron star of infinite greed and cruelty and stupidity, descending from void to black hole, a lifeless, pitiable thing, a blight upon human history, soon enough to be understood only as the shame of less evolved apes. All right, Cecil, I got one for you. Roast Anonymous's wife's aunt, Aunt Janet.
All right. Hey, Aunt Janet, we didn't sign up for your weekly e-newsletter where you preach race supremacy and give us your bran muffin recipe. There's no way your race, whatever it is, possibly Hobgoblin, is coming in first, okay? You look like you just told someone your potato slot pie recipe is a secret when they were just asking what was in it so they could pretend they were allergic. And your muffins suck. They taste like cake crumbs someone reconstituted that came out of a composter. And they have two scoops of raisins in them. Grotesque. Right? Ridiculous.
All right, let's lighten things up a little from there. Janet C. donated $666 and would like a roast of death. And since you are certainly the closest one to that, Noah, why don't you go ahead and take this one?
Oh, all right. I'll have you know, Tom, I had a vegetable last night.
Nice.
Push-up. I did a push-up, too. But yeah.
Vomiting up the vegetables doesn't count as a push-up or a sit-up, Noah. We've been
are you
over
sure you didn't mean push-pop, Noah? They are different.
So, it was an orange push-pop. Fucking fruit. Hello. But death is fine. I get it. It serves a purpose, right? Can you imagine if Jerry Lewis was still around?
Jesus.
Christ. And at the time of this record, we're exactly 2 months past Henry Kissinger's belated demise. So it's really hard to hold a grudge against death at this point. But come on, you need your own fucking font. Everybody else just works with the normal rules of capitalization, but you got to be all caps with the smaller font size. A bunch of arrogant bullshit, if you ask me. And who the fuck names their animal Binky? It's unbecoming. All right. Sorry, that was a little niche, but I liked it.
There's some super nerds in there who are
okay.
loving that.
Tom, how about a roast of PBMs or pharmacy benefit managers for Kellen?
Oh, is it my birthday? Thank you, Kellen. Pharmacy benefit managers are one of those things that when you explain them out loud, you're almost done roasting them. One of those structures that can only exist in the dystopian economic hellscape of late-stage capitalism's unholy marriage with medicine. So here's how they work. You get health insurance. You pay a portion. If you're lucky, your employer pays a portion of that premium. Often prescriptions, unlike your teeth or your eyes, are covered within that plan. Sort of. Because increasingly, your health insurance company farms out prescription coverage to a third party called a PBM. And what they do and how they make money is they take the list price of a medicine and then they negotiate with the insurance company and the drug maker for a rebate or a discount. And the difference between the list price and the reduced price is their spiff on that deal. And what this does in practice is it encourages drug makers to artificially inflate the list price of drugs because they know they are going to have to negotiate that cost down with these PBMs, which results in inflated costs for medicines for uninsured or poorly insured patients who pay the full fucking freight on these things, and it fucks over the pharmacies as well. It is a scheme so obviously designed to enrich a middleman and reduce insurance expenses with no consumer benefit at all that it boggles the mind that it is not illegal. That there is no price fixing or other laws that protect us. But here in the land of the free, remember that what we are really free to do is to fall through the cracks. We are free to line the wallets of oligarchs with the blood and sweat of our toil. We are free to pay more for less than every other industrial nation in the world and then to jerk ourselves off to the myth of our exceptionalism. Remember that in any transaction, the most money is always made in the middle. And even more so when you sell what should never have been bought in the first place. And when the revolution comes and the blood of our financial oppressors runs like a joyous redemptive river in the gutters, I hope the last drops come from these sons of bitches so they have more time to cower in fear before they are slaughtered.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the buzzer.
All right.
I don't think there was a buzzer just now, Tom. I think you just said that.
Guitar mashup thing that Ian does. So that means it's time for our high dollar lightning round. All right. And your roasts also include what the politician is going to need to do to get reelected. You're going to do a whole roast also including this. We're going to thank Eric H., Steve P., and Nicolette H. for their $500 donations. Eric H. for his $750 donation. And Lachlan for his $1,000 donation and for their suggestions for roastees. I'll go first with a roast of Joey Gilbert. Joey Gilbert is a loser in every sense of the word. He was a boxer, but he was also a juiced up cheater. So his wins are all marred by scandal since his blood tests revealed the presence of pretty much on every imaginable cheater's cocktail. He's allied with the anti-vax jackassery of the America's frontline doctor fools. He's an anti-masking rabid election denier who stormed the Capitol and exhorted Alex Jones to follow. And he is a fucking loser, having been KO'd in the Republican primary when he ran for governor. And to be honest, he is the only one of the thousands of idiots with the same boring resume that actually makes sense to me, since at least he, after hundreds of shots to the head, actually has an excuse for some of his fucking brain damage. So what can he do to get elected? I don't know. Maybe it'll work like one of those old sitcoms where a blow to the head causes the problem and then later another one fixes it. I mean, maybe not, but collectively we owe it to ourselves to try. All right, next up, Pibun of Thailand.
Okay, so this guy was prime minister of Thailand from 1948 to 1957. And his big plan, the big thing he did, was to make Thailand great again with a strong national identity, and he focused on lunch. What? He used the power
like it
of
so
the
far.
State to make Pad Thai into a big national thing. And now, the biggest consumers are boring Americans who get scared by the little pepper icon next to the drunken noodles at Thai Express. Pibun basically did the Thai version of Reagan making ketchup into the national vegetable of school lunch. Pibun is the Ronald Reagan of Thailand, is what I'm saying. So I guess if he wants to get reelected, he just needs to reanimate his corpse with a bellows, start a war on drugs, do economics backwards, and then win by the biggest landslide in electoral history. It'll go great.
Yikes. Yikes.
Ibrahim Raisi, president of Iran. This is for you, Eli.
Okay, what does he need to do to keep being elected? I mean, just keep killing all the people who don't vote for him. Right? I mean, eventually, he kills everybody in Iran. His approval rating will go up to 100%. And look, if you hate this guy and wish he was out of power, like so many people do, the good news is there's a Navy SEAL lining a scope up on his skull like, as we speak. Like, this might be a predictive roast, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
And Noah, what does Vladimir Putin need to do to get reelected?
So I'll give you a hint. Its atomic number is 84 and it rhymes with polonium. But yeah, no, actually, I did a whole Citation Needed episode roasting this tiny little bundle of inferiority complex. But if you missed that one, it should suffice to say that he spent a sizable portion of his autobiography talking about how bullied he wasn't as a kid. And he was small for his age and terrible at sports, so you can see why nobody messed with him. I mean, he's an intimidating figure now because every time he kills somebody, the world has to run to the periodic table to figure out what the fuck that was. But it's worth remembering that Putin got where he was because he was the most flaccid, unintimidating possible option when all the various competing factions in post-Soviet Russia were trying to settle on a single guy. Right? Like, he turned the kind of fucking am-to faux toughness we revile so much in Trump to an art form, and in Ukraine, he's turned it into a foreign policy.
And he got good at hockey. You see that video?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Good for him.
Good at horse riding.
And to finish this lightning round, how about you roast Mike Johnson, Cecil?
Mike Johnson is going to have a weird purity daddy-daughter dance with his entire constituency so he can let them know that he's the only one that will fuck them. It's going to be him.
All right, let's do some pets next. We know how much Heath loves this. Cool. So, Heath, why don't you start us off with a roast of Chai for Dan?
Okay, yeah. So normally I do hate roasting dogs, cats, whatever. But we got a picture of Chai, and I've never been more certain that a dog is planning to murder its humans with a Rube Goldberg device right now.
It's true. I can see it.
Chai looks like Stewie just staring at Lois. Right before this picture, Dan clearly said something like, oh, who's a good girl? And Chai was like, not murder. What? I'm a good girl.
Me? Little. It looks like she's thinking, little to the left.
Yeah, to the left. Check out that X right there.
What's that slide whistle I hear?
That's crazy.
Oh, that's an anvil.
Okay, next up is Noah with a roast of Linus the cat for Chris and Rebecca.
Yeah, so Linus, have a seat. This is going to be hard to hear. It's not your earth. I'm sorry. I know somebody should have told you that shit earlier, but it's not. And this one's going to be even tougher. It's not even your fucking house, you greedy little bastard. That other cat lives there as much as you do. Sure, you're big and fluffy and you got a majestic lion's mane that probably makes you think you're king in a fucking jungle. But you know what lions do? You know what lions do, bro? They go for it on 4th and 3 instead of just taking a goddamn field goal that could have sent them the fucking Super Bowl, or at least set the game in a fucking overtime
and fucked themselves out of the chance
to a fucking Super Bowl. Or, given the quite high odds that Chris, Rebecca, and Linus aren't football fans and have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm going to give the alternative, which may be even worse. Lions find their habitat increasingly restricted by the encroachment of humankind. So just keep that shit in mind and keep your peats to yourself, Linus.
Eli, another dog roast. This one is for Walter H. and his dog, Remus.
You know how all German shepherds have a look of nobility and perfection about them? How when you look at a German, you really get a sense of where the wolf is with their dignity and their gait. Well, it turns out they're all just borrowing Remus's because he looks like he's the start of an infomercial about being a dog. And the infomercial is somehow also about finding your own ass. It's not appreciated. It's not a good look.
All right, Cecil, how about you finish this one up with a roast of people who dump Senor Pets.
Oh, if you dump me, I will come find you in the night and make love to your wife.
Senor Pets.
Hey, Senor Pets is my new incredibly problematic character, and I think you guys should just fire me right now. Just fucking
absolutely
shoot me in the back of the
right
head
into the sun,
before
yeah.
Senor
right
Pets
into the sun.
Does his first ad for HelloFresh. I just want you guys to make a living, and I don't know that I can control Senor Pets for much longer. I should quit podcasting right now. That'll be the best exit.
I feel like we need the Men in Black people come with that flash thing. Just take it out of Eli's memory. You know, no, there is no senior pets. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to start that whole line over again.
Yeah, just start it over.
That's a good idea.
I have so much to write.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Cecil, how about you finish this one up for it with a roast of people who dump senior pets for Freo?
Okay, so...
I'll never hear it! I can't hear it!
Senior pets are the best. Okay. I gotta do this. Here we go.
All right, muchacho, you can do it.
No, I can do it. I can do it. Senior pets are the best. They just want to sleep for 22 hours, get up and press their head against your chest for like 3 minutes, and then start another full day nap.
Yes.
Let's get real for a second. Putting down a senior pet at the end of their life is one of the hardest things you can do. Just being there for all the active and fun times in the pet's life and then peacing out at the end is a level of cowardice that isn't roast-worthy, it's genuinely grotesque. You are that animal's fucking world. You should act like it. And if you walk away, I can only hope that when you shuffle off this mortal coil, that room is cold, and dark, and very, very, very lonely.
Tom's rubbing off on me.
I like that.
Fuck those people.
Halfway there.
Yep.
All right, how about we get back to people then? Noah, Vince would like you to roast Ian Miles Chung.
Okay, so I'd never heard of this asshole before I saw this roast, and no joke, almost all of the places that came up when I Googled him were like, your browser would need a condom to go to that website. Just don't. But from what I gather, he appears to be Andrew Tate without the charm, right? Or Jordan Peterson without the intellect. He's a Malaysian blogger that the alt-right keeps around to make their dumbest people seem smarter in comparison. And he's such a failure that he has to settle for writing for like the fucking Canadian Breitbart or something. I'd love to offer some more depth, but that would require engaging with his contact, and I don't have the kind of free time of those shitless layabouts like Elon Musk over there to do that.
All right, Tom, it feels like you've done this a bunch, so dust off some of that outrage you thought was on the shelf for the rest of the year. Matt L. would like you to roast a lack of women's health care taken seriously.
You know, maybe when it comes to women, we should just call it something else. You know, because the word care keeps popping up in there, and yet we don't. And I don't just mean in terms of how we feel. I mean, systemically and intentionally, we don't give a shit. Maladies that affect women receive less funding, less research, and result in greater suffering, yet women's pain is taken less seriously, despite women actually having, on average, a higher tolerance for the same. They are, in fact, 25% less likely to be given pain meds than men. Conditions like endometriosis take an average of 7 years and 10 visits to the doctor before a diagnosis is made, despite the condition affecting somewhere around 11% of women. This is not health care. The system is not caring. The system does not, in fact, care for the 51% of the population it supposedly serves. That's most. Most of the time, this system is failing. And we allow it. We fund it this way. And every economist will tell you that what we fund reflects what we value. And women, that just ain't it. The second most awful thing in the world is to love a woman in need of care and to be powerless in the face of that suffering. But by far the most awful thing is to need help and to be mocked, refused, belittled, to be unseen and unheard, and to know that it is not just this GP or that, but that it is the system, soup to nuts, from education to research to practice to the very technology we build in the arena. We need a new word, because if you're a woman, it isn't health care. And I'm not a smart guy or a subtle guy, so I can only think of one solution. We need a national boycott on men in medicine. Cancel your male doctors, all of them, if possible. Flood the system with women. Make them the leaders. Fill every board seat of every hospital only with women. Exclude men for a dozen generations until something somewhere finally changes for most of us. All right, Heath, you're up next. Chandra wants a roast.
And 3, 2, 1, comedy. Now, comedy.
Senior Pets.
Pay for.
Okay. See, I was resisting making a Senior Pets reference so that you could cover it, but if you're not going to cut it.
I'm not cutting
it. I did
it.
Have
There's
a
no way I'm
bit.
Cutting it. It's too funny. Are you kidding
Thank
me?
Thank you. Okay, so he wears a little hat.
He does.
Right after yep. Tom finishes, yeah. He goes, ay, ay, ay. So just, if anyone had a hard time, just really think of Senior Pets. Doing that. He's my new character. And I really need to be taken
out
of
the Yeah, no, he's, so what he is he's like, like a pinata. He's like a pinata that's
so
broken
sorry.
Open. So I feel like.
You guys oh God, did such a good job making broken. A podcast, and I'm going to ruin it. It's just Puss in Boots with a different name. That's the worst part. It's not even an original character. Heath, you were saying something.
All right, Heath, you're up next, bud. Chandra wants Great. A roast of all Great. Those museums and private collectors that buy pilfered goods in the black market and then refuse to return them, like especially the British Museum.
Okay, The British Museum is basically the Holocaust Museum if it was run by Nazi Germany. It's terrifying. Except it's even worse because the Nazis just did the one and they're not running Germany anymore. The British Museum, it's like a slideshow from your friend's trip, but instead of going to Club Med in Jamaica, they went to the colonization of the world for centuries. And instead of slides, it's actual things they stole from Jamaican people and they're showing it to you all night. You can't leave. And you paid to be in there. Fuck.
All right, Eli, how about a roast of Tim Ballard for Seattle Expo?
Ooh, my goodness. What can you say about Tim Ballard that doesn't cross over into someone else's deposition? Tim Ballard lied about protecting trafficked children, sexually assaulted well-meaning volunteers, and almost certainly embezzled untold amounts of charity meant to help the victims of child rape. But what I'll never forgive is that he got Jim Caviezel back into acting again. Have you no shame, sir?
Jesus Christ.
Have you no shame?
All right, to finish out our single roast, Cecil, can you roast asshole 12-year-old gamer children for Jeff?
Jeff, come on, Jeff. I know us old folks don't like getting sniped by some kid that has perfect eyesight and rock-solid hand-eye coordination. But here's the thing. Take solace in the fact that at 38, he's going to die in the climate wars. Sure, it sucks to be called a noob by a kid that probably has a fourth grade vocabulary, but we'll be dead and they'll have to choke down a 14-year-old can of Little Smokies and chase that with water from a toxic puddle. Jeff, revenge is a dish best served cold, unlike the earth, which from now until he dies will have the hottest year on record.
Fuck. All right, to finish out, each of these wonderful people gave bags of cash, 5 roast requests for a total of $5,000. So if you have something, jump on in. Start with the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod for Panda.
Yeah, so if you'd asked me to name the most terrifying flavors of Christianity, I feel like I'd have underestimated the Lutherans before I read up on Panda's email. Like, you know all those Lutheran churches that are breaking away now because of their tolerance of LGBTQ people? Well, Wells, W-E-L-S, that's the 1860s version of that, right? These are the people, this is the outgrowth of groups that thought Lutheranism was getting too damn woke in 1867.
Jesus. Wisconsin declaring its own synod is like New Jersey having a state constitution. I know technically they're allowed to do it, but it kind of gives it all a so anyone can just do this vibe, huh? You know what I'm saying?
Wells are great matchmakers. They introduce Michelle Bachman to her gay husband, and they let Ron Johnson introduce us to Hunter Biden's hog.
Yeah, you gave us Michelle Bachman, W-E-L-S, and until you explain what the fuck you did, that she's been staring at ever since. We're going to assume it was a war crime that you did, and she sees it all the time, wherever she's looking.
It's senior pets. I'm sorry. He's behind whoever she's looking at's shoulder, just flipping her off. No one can see her but me and Al Bachman. Okay, wait, I think I can save it. Senior Pets, he's Puss in Boots, but no one can see him except for me and Michelle Bachman.
Yeah. The Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. For those times you see Missouri and think, nah, too progressive.
Yes.
All right, how about working more than 40 hours a week for Tyler P?
Okay, so I had a heart attack. Finished editing a GAM episode and then went to the hospital. I'd love to jump in on this. I don't think I'm qualified for this roast.
Yeah, and in that spirit, I feel like my eventual suicide will do this roast. Tom, it feels weird to tease it here. You know what I'm saying?
Like, keeping you tired is strategic. Guillotine blades are very heavy. Super heavy.
Oh, there you go.
True.
Okay, so I just got back from a trip to Portugal. It was my buddy's bachelor party. It was a lot of fun. Apparently everyone in the country, entire country of Portugal, is impossibly attractive and happy all the time. It's insane. They just, like, they wake up, they eat a custard pie and a slab of fresh ham, they play a match with their professional soccer team that they're on, then they dive into the ocean and grab their lunch with their bare hands, and they eat that lunch for the next 4 hours, very leisurely, and then they spend the rest of the day finishing their oil painting masterpiece and smiling in the sun that follows them around like a cartoon. And then if it's Wednesday, they go to work for like 20 minutes. They send an email and they're done with their work. We're doing something wrong here.
We are.
My dad worked 2 and often 3 jobs and never once only put in a 40-hour work week. Then again, he had a debilitating heart attack at 53 that effectively ended his career and permanently cost him his health. But, you know, I've never worked only 40 hours a week myself. But I take the advice of physicians within our capitalist system, which is to compensate for all the working by working out, I guess, based on the theory that like cures like. I just realized I'm a homeopathist live on air and I have to go change my whole life.
Yeah.
All right. How about slumlords for Josh?
Slumlords have somehow taken the most predatory job in the world and made it worse, right? You make money from a building existing. You hit the lottery, right? How can you find a way to be a bad guy about that? It's like inefficiently disposing of your volcano layer's toxic waste. All right, we get it.
Yeah, all right, new rule. Everyone who collects rent and has any outstanding repairs to make that they haven't made, they have to live in that building until they fix it and also pick up the rent in person every single time. And renters are allowed to put the money at the end of like a Saw scenario with like bear traps and shit.
Right. And they get to stay in his place, right? Like while like he's fixing their fucking fridge, he gets there, or all the tenants in the building or whatever gets rotated out or whatever.
They get to break in his place whatever's broken in that one. Ooh. I like that.
Ooh.
We can't commodify human rights. I don't want to live in America anymore. Sorry, I forgot to emphasize the last part. I don't want to live in America anymore.
Slumlords get a bad rap. That's actually all they get. They should get buried alive under their buildings with a lot of quicklime at night beneath a slab. No one will miss them. Wink.
Yeah, there'll be some good Amontillado in it for them. All right. Yeah.
How about the use of Karen as a pejorative? For Karen S.
Okay, I get it. It's got to be tough being an actual person named Karen. 2020 was called the year of the Karen because Karens were the worst thing to happen to the world in 2020. That's rough. We should really do better, though. Using Karen as a pejorative is just lazy. And there's no reason it should have to be a woman's name. I'm thinking we switch it over to Darren, at least. Every white guy named Darren is a horrible, horrible human being. I think we can all agree. Darren is sending back a steak because it's not extra medium right now, for sure. And by the time he leaves that restaurant, he's going to ingest some terrible stuff. I mean, terrible. But people are going to keep using Karen for a while, and I do feel for you. It's got to be tough when your name is synonymous at this point with over-entitled white woman. But just remember, it actually could be worse. People could call you podcaster, and that happens to some people.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry to be all kids these days, but I feel like somebody's generation, and I'm not going to say whose, was like, wow, you know, we've made a lot of real and meaningful progress against sexist and ageist slurs in our language, but boy, that's made it real hard to talk about how much I hate women and don't care about old people. And thus was born the Karen meme and the OK Boomer shit. And even if you think you know how to wield those things without deploying their inherent bigotry, you're still given permission to use them to people who don't. So find a new fucking bit. For Karen's sake.
Karen, I want to thank you for this roast because all the Karens I know are lovely. They help out at soup kitchens. They're on their PTA, but hey, they're chill with whatever. Most of you are named after your grandmother anyways, and she was even lovely. And while you try not to take it all personally, let's talk about the real problem, which is that people are smearing Karens while the Ashleys roam free and unscathed. That's right. The dog kicking refund demanding Ashleys are out there giving vowels a bad name. And you're coming for the Karens? The Care Bears? Shame on you, pop culture and memeography. Shame.
I'm sorry, the irony of a Karen publicly complaining about being a Karen is exactly what you'd expect from a Karen.
Oh.
Shit.
And finally, an anti-roast compliment hug fest.
We're seeing your pets. I thought he was going to do something right there.
Hello.
Save the day.
You call for me? that was not fun. Apologize to Karen.
Or die. Ooh, and he has a gun.
Oh, a gun?
Puss in Boots has a sword. I'm worried about infringement.
What is I don't even know. Eli's off on his own thing right now. Just let him be.
Yep, he is. None can follow. And none want to.
You guys
want to
do some ads over here on Cognos? I got some ideas for you. Let me go get changed.
All right, and finally, an anti-roast compliment hug fest to close this out. Let's compliment Margarita for AJ.
AJ, looks like you rolled a natural 20 here. You don't get a lot of those in your life, so do not fuck this up. I know you're thinking about it. You're probably going to fuck it up, but try not to fuck it up.
Yeah, so apparently one of her main sources of learning English after immigrating from the Soviet Union in 1989 was American sitcoms, and her favorite was Cheers. So all of her other positive qualities, she's also got great taste in 80s sitcoms. But to echo Cecil's point, she's clearly better than you. There's a lot of ways to fuck this up, but she seems to be tugging you along pretty good so far. So keep it up.
All right, let's see a compliment. Well, Margarita is a fellow NYU Violet like myself. Ooh, ooh.
I wonder if she knows spreadsheets.
Also, she...
Columns and rows?
Is she physically able to resist doing the character Senior Pets? Also, she doesn't like mean comedy, so not sure how AJ's going to play this section for her. Really careful timestamps, I'm assuming. Yeah, either way, hi, Margarita. You sound lovely, and I'm sorry they let me into the same school that it sounds like you worked really hard at.
I love the way you spelled school so much.
That wasn't me. That was Senior
Pets. Yeah, okay.
Full psychotic break.
I met Margarita at live show in New York. She was delightful. I'm a basic fucking Darren, so I immediately did a word association, and I was like, I enjoyed a book with that name in it. It's called The Master and Margarita. Margarita is your name. Margarita, same word. Yeah. So turns out Margarita knows that book very well. And I was terrified at that point. And she clearly had way more. She clearly had way more in-depth understanding than me. Right away, she said something super smart and over my head. And I was like, yup, it's good book. I like the plot of words in the book. But she was very gracious. She managed to make me feel welcome for talking about a book as best I could. It was a great time hanging out with her and AJ. Thank you so much for the donation.
Say goodbye, Tom.
Goodbye, Tom.
Senior Pet.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's going to wrap it up for this funny show episode. We hope you enjoyed Vulgarity for Charity. We want to thank, of course, Eli, Noah, and Heath for joining us today. You can catch their shows on Scathing Atheist, Godawful Movies, Skeptocrat, D&D Minus, and the sister show of theirs that they do with us, Citation Needed. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death in towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.